So I got into a fist fight. In seventh grade, but I'm getting ready to tell you what over. I was on the playground, and there was another guy who was like the bully, okay, the bully of the school. And I was in seventh grade, and I think Steve's coming with this here in a moment. I wish I could say that it was this grandiose fight. By the way, I don't condone fighting. I knew the young people wouldn't be here tonight. But he was kind of the school bully, and I wish that I could say it looked like this, but it absolutely did not. We were on the playground, and a buddy of mine, who was also a little guy, I was a very small guy, went up for a layup. And this guy, just because of the guy he was, grabs my buddy and throws him down on the ground, okay? Now, he had already been being a jerk the whole time that we were out there, and he was always that way. And so I was always already kind of irritated with him, but what really got me was after he threw him down on the ground and I was already irritated, he kicked my buddy. Now, something happened within me, and I guess I just lost track of all reason, and I ran as fast as I could, and with all the momentum I had in my small frame, I hit this guy and pushed him off of my buddy. And he went back, like stumbled back maybe a foot or so, and he came at me and got in my face and he pushed me and he said, "What do you think you're doing?" And I don't know what idiot part of me made me say this, but I said to him, "Why don't you pick on someone your own size?" And he laughed, okay? And I hadn't come back down from reality yet, I guess because of the adrenaline, and I went for it. And I pulled back, and with all the power that was within my body, I swung, and I tapped this guy on the chin, and he kind of did this. And he comes back, and it was about the time that he came back into eye contact with me that reality set in that it's on. So I'm standing there, and immediately I see his face get extremely red and just swell up. I don't think anybody had ever hit the guy before. And he swings back. Now, this guy, granted, I mean, he's up about here on me at this point. I'm at his chest, okay? He swings back, and at this point, I'm so frozen. I'm just a statue. I'm an easy target. And connects. Everybody turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So I think the reason why I decided to fight him was because I felt like I was fighting the good fight. And I don't know where I picked this up, but this is a term that I have used a lot of my life. And in its most basic sense, the idea of fighting the good fight is just being a Christian who's struggling and who's challenged to walk the Christian walk, okay? That's it in its simplest form, fighting the good fight. And I felt like I was fighting the good fight by fighting Mike. His name was Mike. Again, it was not the right thing to do or the best thing to do. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's what happened. So let's look here at Galatians chapter 5. Really, Galatians chapter 5, the end of this chapter really embodies what it means if I was going to give scriptural backing to the idea of fighting the good fight. It sums it up perfectly, and this is where I would go if I was going to explain it. You see, at the beginning of Galatians chapter 5, you see Paul talking specifically about the freedoms that we have in Christ. That's what the first part of the chapter is about. And then you see him give the idea of somebody cutting in on our race. So he's talking about a race. Now he's talking about a fight. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Now, what I really want to look at here is this idea of using your freedom to serve one another. We've been given great freedom by Christ, and this is the concept we're seeing at this part of Galatians. The reason we've been given this freedom is so that we do have the ability to stand and fight against Satan, and so we should use it for that, and we should serve one another humbly in love. Galatians chapter 5, let's move on to verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. So they are in conflict with one another. So you're not able to do whatever you want because the two are in conflict with each other. But what I really want to focus on right here is this part that says, you will not gratify. If you look at the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, it says basically, so I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you look at all other major versions of the Bible, the New American Standard, King James, NIV, and all the others, they say that if you walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And that is what's correct in the Greek. It's also important to note that if you look, and you don't have to turn there, but to James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says that we are lured away by our evil desires, and when those evil desires are conceived, they give birth to sin. Now, it's very clear when you look at James 1, 14 and 15, that evil desire and sin are two completely different things. But it's not so clear here. So if you look at the root word, the Greek root word in James chapter 1, verse 15, it's pamithia. If you look at the Greek root word for Galatians 5:16 for gratify, the root word is pamithia. So we see here that this is not sin, okay? But it brings up the point that if we walk by the Spirit, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have evil desire. It just means that we won't gratify that desire. And it's a very important distinction to make, because in walking the Christian walk, we're not spectators of evil desire, but a people at war with evil desire. We're not sitting on the sidelines of the ring now because we're Christians looking at evil desire. And if somebody from the outside comes in and they look at us as a people that no longer have evil desires, like Dwight talked about so well this morning, then we're going to portray something that is not accurate. Because not only do we sin still, but we still have the evil desire within us. It's still there. Now, there is something that I like to call perfectionist Christianity, and that is this idea that we get down on ourselves if we feel that we have evil desire within us, and we start beating ourselves up emotionally, mentally, because we're not perfect. And I know some people that have suffered from this their entire lives. They can never feel good enough. And that's a weird statement, because in a sense, we're never good enough. That's why Christ is there. But it's this idea that we have to be perfect when we don't, because we're always going to have evil desire. And so when I talk about fighting the good fight, if you're somebody who suffers from perfectionist Christianity, this probably, rather than getting you on fire, it will probably just get you tired. Because you're like, I just can't win. At the very end of this lesson, I'm going to give you the formula to do away with perfectionist Christianity. And I'm giving it to you at the end, because it's going to involve all of the text tonight. So it'll make really good sense. And it's just a 3-point formula, A, B, C. And it uses the letters A, B, and C. And it's something that if you have that problem of feeling as if you're just never getting it right, it's something you can put in your tool belt and have for the rest of your life. And it's a very powerful thing taken from this scripture right here. But I just wanted to make the point that it doesn't mean that we no longer have the problem, we're not in the ring. What it means is that we are at war. We're at war with the evil desire in our life, and we are fighting the good fight. We are in the ring. 5:14 says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And then I'm skipping to verse 18 here to make a topical point. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We see the law in two places here. It shows you the power of selflessness, of love acted out in selflessness. Because we see the entire law is fulfilled by selflessness, love your neighbor as yourself. And we're not even under the old law. We're not even under the law because of this love, because of this selflessness we have. So this is even more freedom that we are given, that we're no longer under this law because of love. One test of effectiveness of your training is the selflessness that we're talking about. If you look at fighting the good fight as something that you train for, you want to see how well am I prepared to fight the good fight, or how well am I fighting it. And if we monitor and just look and say, am I becoming more selfless of a person or less selfless of a person? It's not about being perfect. It's about growth. And that's what this is saying earlier, is that it's the love that we have for each other, for our neighbor, that we're to love them as much as we love ourselves. There's a selflessness there to at least love them in the same way that we love ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I don't love you as much as I love myself. And it's something that I'm always trying to grow towards. So these are the contenders. If you look at the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, if I were to give you the long, complete version for me of what it means to fight the good fight, this is fighting the good fight. You have the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Basically, if you look at the fruit of the flesh, it might look slightly different than your version. I've basically taken the NIV, the easy-to-read version, and the Bible in Basic English to make these less religious, maybe, and the phraseology apply more currently, and you can check up on me. But that's the modern version of these things that we deal with. And then we are striving to live by the fruits of the Spirit, and the battle or the good fight is against the fruits of the flesh. So those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we belong to Christ, we've crucified the flesh. If you go back a couple of chapters in Galatians to chapter 2, verse 20, it's a song that our youth know and probably many of you know, and it explains this very well. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but lives in me. Now the life that I now live by the I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when it says we've been crucified, we've crucified the flesh, it means that we have made the decision to put on Christ, and we're choosing to fight the good fight and not live for the flesh any longer. It's also important to note it says now we belong to Christ. And you could look at that as being as not being freeing, but whenever you read all this in context, this really becomes the most important verse in the end of Galatians chapter 5 for me, because this is what it says to me. When you get tired, Christ is in your corner. Okay, I don't know if you've ever heard anybody say, hey man, I'm in your corner. Or there was an insurance company at one time that their slogan was, we're in your corner. That actually comes from boxing. You know, somebody's in the ring, and they're getting beat up, and they're on their heels. Well, as Christians, you know, there are times when we fight the good fight, and we get on our heels, man, and we feel like we're getting beat up, and we make the decision to go to the corner, and we go to that corner, Christ is there. He can bandage you up. He can give you something refreshing to drink. He can give you words of encouragement. He is there for us. He is in our corner. So what I'm going to do, I would like you, if you would, to consider taking out your cell phones. It's the one time in church that it's okay to do, unless you're reading your Bible from your cell phone. And I would like to ask you to take a picture of this slide right here, and I will explain why I'm going to ask you to do that here in a moment. But I'll finish my story while you do that. So, Mike connects, okay? Hits me hard. And I wish I could tell you what happened after he hit me, but I can't. I woke up a few minutes later, and I had the vice principal and a few of the other guys around me. I wondered why I couldn't breathe, and whenever I put my hand up to my nose, it was over here. There was no plumbing there anymore, that's why I couldn't breathe. And he took me into his office, and I had to go and sit outside, and I was scared to death of what my dad was going to do to me when he got there because I had started the fight. So I'm sitting out there, and I'm trembling, and I see my dad go into the office. He does not see me. So he goes in, and he's talking to the vice principal. I'm sitting there scared to death. My dad comes out and comes over to me, and he has this weird smile on his face. And I'm like, this is new. I wasn't expecting this. Unbeknownst to me, the principal from the other side of the playground had seen what was going on and had made me out to be the hero to my dad. Okay? He was like, your son's a hero. You know, he's the savior of this kid. He was getting beat up, and he wouldn't stand for it. He would not let it happen. Now, because my father had been told that I was fighting the good fight, he took me out and got me the new pair of basketball shoes I had been wanting for the last month. It was a pretty sweet deal. Because my father had been told that I was fighting the good fight, I was rewarded. I'll say that one more time in case it didn't sink in. Because my father had been told that I was fighting the good fight, I had been rewarded. You might ask the question, why fight the good fight? It's a fight. It's going to get tiring from time to time. But in the end, Christ will tell your Father, he's not perfect, but he fought the good fight. And you'll be rewarded by your dad. The reason that I've put this on the screen and asked you to take pictures of it is because this is kind of an inner game conditioning for this next week. If you really look at this as a fight, it's about conditioning. If you look at the asterisks by some of these fruits of the flesh, the reason they're there is because they're really about the inner game. And I look at the people who are in the audience tonight, and many of you have had a lot of years of practicing, of working on studying your opponent, and have worked hard to be less of self and more of God. And so the things that I have asterisks are really the things that are more about the inner game. It's not that they're more or less important than the others, but it's something to focus on for this week and to evaluate your own fight, evaluate your own game. And then the reason I had you take the picture is because what I'd like us to consider doing is starting with Monday to really focus on one of the fruits of the Spirit. Start with love on Monday and to really focus on being more loving. To go to joy on Tuesday, just to not be grumpy or mad or worry about the matters of the world in such a bad way, and to be joyful, and so on and so forth. Wednesday, I put peace and patience together. They're similar. But to choose one to focus on for each day and to condition yourself, this week in a very intentional way. Right now you have intentionality in conditioning yourself to live by the fruits of the Spirit. And then I told you at the very beginning, because I know this could seem daunting and nobody's going to do it perfectly, that I was going to give you a formula in order to shed yourself of this Christian perfectionism, and it's going to be from the text, and so that's what I'm going to do now. So this is A. advancement over perfection. And this comes from verse 14. And what I mean by that, rather than just being some phrase, is that we want to continue to grow. We always want to be advancing. If we start getting back on our heels, then we're in trouble. We're never going to be perfect. We're always going to have evil desire, like verse 14 says, but we always want to be advancing. Don't look at it as I have to be perfect. Look at it as I'm trying to grow. And then be Spirit-focused. And this comes from the fruits of the Spirit in verse 22. If you want to look at how you're supposed to advance, how you're supposed to grow, that's how you do it. You look at verse 22 and you go through the fruits of the Spirit. And then C, just as important, and comes from the very beginning of our text, is what you're doing for other people. It doesn't have to be perfect, but the standard is that you're adding value, is that you're contributing to the people around you. So tonight, in order for us to fight the good fight, we have to have Christ in our corner. We have to belong to Him, as the Scripture says. In order to belong to Him, we have to have forgiveness of our sins. And in order to have forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of those sins." If you'd like to be baptized, we've got a pool right here for that to be done. If you'd like to talk more about that, or if you'd like prayers of the church, or have any other need, please come forward while we stand and sing.